Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome to the Scotty Johnny Podcast. I, again, am your humble host, Jonathan Barnett. And today with me, Aaron Flottam.
Wow, I'm back.
We did it. We did it.
Heck, science.
Right. So for everyone who missed kind of our back and forth here, basically my computer died and I had issues with that and we were trying to deal with it and we're back and ready and rolling again and we are the Dynamic Wisconsin Sports Duo kicking it here again.
Not that I don't have a computer, but you have the mixing board.
And I do.
I wasn't going to come and drive and get it from you.
Yeah, no, and it's an easier drive now than it used to be back in Hermantown days.
Still lazy, though, I mean, yes.
You have plenty enough to do. So, right. Again, if you've been looking for us, you could have found us venting loudly on Twitter over the last however many days. You could have found us, myself, at jbarn54 on Twitter. You can find Aaron, of course, at
Cheddar Talk, blocked twice by Cato Kalin during the playoff run.
Which was great. He's such a spaz. I can't stand listening to him.
I just don't like the people that defend him. Yes, at Cheddar Talk. That's where you can find me. And apparently now the far right likes me as well. I don't know what I said, but I have a bunch of Brewers fans, Packers fans, and the far right, which I'm trying to lose them. But anyhow.
Whatever. Just whoever's there, they're welcome, obviously. Anybody's welcome. Yes. We're all welcome. So you can listen to the show, too, at ScottyJohnny1. And you can also email us at ScottyJohnny@gmail.com. You can send us all your hate mail. You can send us all your fan mail. Whatever you've got, just send it our way. We'll take care of it. So what we wanted to do today, what we wanted to focus on is, first off, there was no Packer game. So we're not going to talk much about that. We're just going to let it go. Of course, the fun part today was that Mike McCarthy did come out and say that the team did self-scout this whole week off during the bye week, and what they found is...
thank God.
Right. Here's the great part. They did found what they find every single bye week when they do their self-scouting, which is, ooh, you know what? We should run the ball more. But, Mike, just call more running plays then. I mean, he acts like it's this big mystery. Like, we got to find more ways to run a football. He's like, we'll call more running plays.
We also realize that we might have the best quarterback in the league, and Clay Matthews is overrated. Thanks, Mike.
Is now, wasn't, you know, a couple years ago, but yeah, is now.
Is now, excuse me, yes.
Yeah.
He was good. Yes, in his prime, he was one of the most dynamic pass rushers in football, but.
Yeah, you were correct in the way you said it. Just,
right.
Man, it's hurtful. We'll briefly touch here on Wisconsin. Wisconsin, the number 23 ranked team last week, defeated Illinois. Oddly, by the same score that Purdue beat Ohio State.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I'm still that. Sorry. Continue on with the Badgers.
The only one point that I want to make, the only big thing that I want to say on this is the Hornibrook bashing. And I got into it with a buddy of mine from law school. We disagree on Hornibrook, but the Hornibrook bashing has to stop. We have to stop pretending that anything that's going wrong is Hornibrook's fault. Seriously, the week before against Michigan, they only threw on third down. It was ridiculous. I looked it up at the time. I went through the stats with 10 minutes left in the game. It was like they had 8 third down plays. They threw on 7 of them. They had 17 first down plays at that point and had thrown on 3. They were only throwing on third down when it was obvious passing down, and they were always getting blitzed because it was obvious what was going to happen. And then when it didn't work, people were like, stinking Hornibrook, ruining everything.
Like, well, and in his defense, too, I mean, on Saturday, the weather was not nice. Let's just put that right out there. Fairness and Truth Act going on here. So I had my National Guard drill weekend up at Fort McCoy this last weekend, and we were doing weapon squall. And about the same time, the Badgers were playing, and snow was blowing. And luckily, I had gotten my qual in during the nice weapon qualification, meaning shooting an M16 at targets, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about. But Friday night during the nice weather, I got qualled. So I just sat there and watched all my friends struggle with a 30-mile-an-hour crosswind. You know, and so with a finely machined, rifled 5.56 round, not being able to hit targets because of a crosswind, imagine throwing a light leather inflated ball and trying to make it go where it needs to go. It's I don't envy the man for trying to do that on Saturday.
And his best target so far has been Ferguson stepping up and making big plays at that tight end spot. We have to remember, too, the guy lost his number one wide receiver from last year. He lost Quintus Cephus. I mean, not unreasonably. But, you know, and then Danny Davis missed two games, and he's still getting on with him. Danny Davis is just a sophomore. Kentrell Pryor is a sophomore. A.J. Taylor is a sophomore. And they got just a bunch of guys who are, you know, maybe going through their sophomore slump and, you know, getting further along in the system and trying to grow through this.
And he's not terrible. To bring it back to the Army point again, at least when those targets pop up, they're where they're supposed to be when they pop up.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just
200.
And I'm not saying like he's a world beater or he's incredible. What I'm saying is he's okay. He's a D1 quarterback. He belongs starting. He's a nice quarterback. He's not terrible. Everyone needs to calm down on all the Hornibrook just hatred out there. It just seems to me like we're not going to be satisfied until we have Russell Wilson back under center. Right. And everything else is just going to be a massive, just disheartening breakdown.
Well, so you just hit it on the head, too. It's like, I don't know what Wisconsin fans are looking for. We've never had a Russell Wilson. We had for 1 year. That is the most dynamic quarterback that we've had in our lifetimes.
Yeah.
Since the Badgers decided to stop stinking in the early 90s when Alvarez showed around, it's never been about the quarterback.
No.
Never. It's always been about big, beefy linemen and a running back. And that's it. And a strong defense.
Or obviously. Two running backs. And here's the other thing, too, about this team is that the defense is not as good as they have been, or as good as we were promised, at least. They're a good defense. They have not been great this year. I mean, they gave up 20 to Illinois, which is starting, I think, like 32 sophomores or something like that. Illinois has started like literally from scratch at this point. Last year, Lovey Smith was starting something like 15 freshmen on that team. So we gave up 20 to Illinois. And so, yeah, next week, Northwestern, the 4-3 Northwestern Wildcats in Northwestern. So that would be a tough one. 11 a.m. start. Wisconsin up to number 20. But yeah, Northwestern can be troublesome on the road, but then they get Rutgers, and then then they got to go to Penn State, get Purdue, and then beat up the Gophers. The Gophers, who are 0-4 in the Big Ten this year after giving Nebraska their first win of the year. It's just they're so nice. They're going to give those Huskers look like they're having a hard time out there.
A hard season, you know, John. So we're going to have to, you know, just let them have one here. Yeah. So
we're going to let them come on in here and get themselves a win, because it's too mean to go let those Big Ten teams get too many losses. The Gophers don't look good. They don't look good. And row the boat is rowing right off of Minnehaha Falls or something.
Right. Well, Dan Brewer over on KFAN was bringing it up too. What's Purdue's head coach's name?
Oh, I forget their new coach. I still always think of Tiller, and it's not him anymore. But
give me a second here. John, fill some time here while I quick look.
Well, I also, you know, looking at Nebraska here, Nebraska got 53 points, which is their highest point total of the season. Their previous high being getting 31 in a loss at Nebraska or at Northwestern in overtime, in a game where they were a 98% favorite. They then lost in the battle of N logos in the Big Ten. But so great to see. We know the Axe is coming back, because the Big Ten has gone to Minnesota and taken four in a row after Minnesota won, you know, those tough games up front.
Here's what I was talking about too. So I got Barrero's tweet up here quick. Is that it was he posted this today. It was second year coach Jeff Brohm, not to be confused with the Brohm that we had
Brian
on
Brohm.
The Packers, inheriting a team with 13 fewer Big Ten victories than the Gophers over the previous 4 years, leads Purdue over number two Ohio State 49-20. Now that's elite. So yes, Jeff Brohm took over. His name was escaping me. I knew who, and I should have just because of the backup quarterback bit. But yeah, Brohm took over a much worse team than the Gophers had. I mean, the Gophers were in a bowl game the year before Fleck showed up. And in just 2 years, Brohm has Purdue beating Ohio State convincingly. And I guess the next question is, now that Ohio State lost to Purdue, who still isn't even ranked in the top 25 after beating Ohio State, does this open up the possibility to three SEC teams in the playoffs this year? John?
I just said that to my dad today through some texting. Yeah, I think that basically if the Big Ten has a loss, and that means that the Big Ten is out, because that's how this works now, is the SEC gets one bye team, which is Alabama. They could lose two games. They're getting in because it's voting.
They could lose three games.
It's a TV show, and they all know it, so they're going to put Alabama in because it's TV. If the Big Ten has one loss, they're going to let in whoever wins the SEC and probably whoever finishes second, as long as one of those teams is Alabama. Then the Big 12 is terrible. Oklahoma barely beat Army and then lost the following week. Nobody in the Big 12 is any good, because Texas took
that gun, had it in their sights, and then shot themselves in the foot.
And Texas lost to Maryland. They lost to Maryland.
No, Texas. And the thing is with Texas too, is they were like lining up to like, they were knocking people down. And it's like, well, good on Texas. Here comes Big Orange. And then they lose, like you said, to Maryland.
Yeah. So nobody in the Big 12 is any good. And so that means they won't get in. The Pac 12 has a couple teams. They'll probably get one in.
Hopefully Chris Peterson finally gets a shot at the championship. But I mean,
nah, whatever. It's going to be LSU, Auburn, Alabama, and Clemson. So that it'll just be that one quarter of the entire country. It's like one fifth of the country size wise. It'll be all of them down there, and then it'll just make sure that nobody else is watching football on New Year's Day.
Clemson's in too. They're ACC, but I mean,
they're in the South Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, USF has a really good argument. They haven't lost yet this year, and they're defending national champions.
UCF, not South Florida, but Central Florida.
You've
done that before too.
Not. I know. I've done this on this podcast before too.
Yeah.
Florida Atlantic, Florida Coastal.
Not Atlantic. Which one? You can't trust any team.
UCF and USF are both undefeated. Yeah. So I was still right but wrong. What?
Yeah. Anyhow, we did
which
start.
Which one was Scott Frost's team?
UCF. The Golden Knights, the school that Culpepper went to.
Yeah. Well, it seems like they're missing. Right? They're missing Frost. They're still undefeated. Yeah, anyways. Right.
Yeah. They're doing just fine without him. Yeah. So. Yeah, that's where we are with college football and the Badgers at this point. They'll be fine. Almost ready for college basketball season, but we are in the NBA season. And I'll tell you, Aaron, the atmosphere in the Barnett House for the NBA season is dead.
Tepid?
Tepid. Yeah, I don't care about the NBA that much.
Your boy is not even into basketball?
Josh is, because he's a small child. He's 12. And
right.
The NBA is geared towards children.
Well, that's what I was getting at. I was a huge basketball fan when I was his age. That's what I was getting at. Yeah, it's because that's when he probably plays basketball in the winter, right?
He didn't last year. But he plays football and baseball and stuff. But he still likes playing basketball. We still go down to the courts down the way here and everything. Basketball is a fun game to play. Everybody plays basketball. But here's my point on basketball is that. When you play football in high school, it's football. You go into college, you're like, this is the exact same game. They're just bigger and faster. Right. And then you go into the NFL and you're like, this looks exactly like the game I played in high school. Just they're bigger and faster than me. Did you play high school basketball? I can't remember.
No, I wrestled, but I played basketball all the way through my eighth grade year. So because you could play both basketball and wrestle, there are two different seasons when you're in junior high. So, and that's what I was getting at, because you basically can play basketball until you're 13 years old, and then you get to high school, and then you have to make the decision as to which winter sport you're going to play. So I wrestled, but I still like basketball, because unlike wrestling, outside of a drunken college brawl, there's no such thing as pickup wrestling. I can pick up a basketball and shoot a basketball still and still play a pickup basketball game.
That's good. See, I was 6'2", 200-something, and I knew that there was one of two options. I could go and be one of the smallest heavyweight wrestlers and get my butt kicked, or I could wrestle at 189, but Brock Stadinski, who was the captain of our football team, played middle linebacker and was a great wrestler, went to state every year. I don't think he didn't win a state title, but he was very, very good, and he could have just kicked my butt every day in practice. And I said, I don't want to do either of those things. I'm going to take my 6'2" frame and go play basketball. And, it worked out all right. But I didn't like our coach at our school, so I didn't end up playing. But this is the thing I was getting at is high school basketball looks like college basketball, except for they use quarters instead of halves. You know, they switch from quarters to halves in college. Yep. But the NBA doesn't look like either of them.
The NBA looks like AAU is what it looks like.
That's true. That's what it's getting at is that it's a bunch of guys playing individual matchups around the floor. There's not a lot of teams that really play full-on just sets. I mean, they play a couple different sets, but the sets in the NBA are designed to get people just in space to play one-on-one. It's just incredible athletes putting on a show, but it doesn't look like the basketball we all played. Like, none of us go play a pickup game and play like that.
Now, I haven't been to a high school basketball game in, full disclosure, probably 15 years. But last time I checked, there's no such thing as ISO plays in high school basketball.
There aren't many, at least. We had one in our system, but we almost never ran it. We ran like two different versions of motion or flex.
But you are correct, though, too. And as the G League, whichever league it is, because it's owned by the NBA, which in the next couple of years, I think it's going to be a real thing where kids that would be one and dones in college are just going to go get paid $125,000 to go play in the D League instead. College basketball is going to even look more like the high school game because all the superstars are just going to bypass college for the most part. So, but yeah, no, the NBA game looks nothing. Like, you are absolutely correct. That is an astute observation, Mr. Barnett. And I blame Gus Macker and his 3-on-3 basketball tournaments for starting all of this.
So, that's great as all
that is. Didn't see that coming, did you?
No. Gus Macker, the big goofy basketball logo of theirs. But the one thing we will say is the Bucks are undefeated. As much as I won't watch just an NBA game because it's on, generally speaking, and I'll watch some of the finals maybe. But I like it when the Bucks are relevant because I'll watch every now and then and just see that. It's the only professional and college sport basically I've never gone to. I've been to NFL, NBA, no, not NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, NHL. I've been to college hockey at a couple different levels. I haven't been to college baseball, I guess, but I've never been to an NBA game.
I have been in Omaha, too, by the way. Did you? And when I was in Omaha last time, before the College World Series, I was told that that is an event to put on your calendar and definitely get down there for.
Yeah, and I like Omaha. I've been there a couple times. It'd be cool to go see that, I think. But beyond that, I guess I'd like to get to a Bucks game just so I can get it off my list. But they're 3-0. They are on top of the Central, which is made up of Detroit, Indianapolis, who's 2-2, or Indianapolis Pacers, whatever, the Bulls, and...
Are there other towns in Indiana besides Indianapolis that they take credit for?
West Lafayette.
Where's Notre Dame at?
That's way up in the top. South Bend, which is in the north part.
But nobody takes credit for Carbondale. Or is that Illinois? Either way. So, yeah, if it has Indiana, you're right. It's Indianapolis. It's interchangeable.
I took my son to the Big Ten title game when Wisconsin got destroyed by Ohio State.
59 donut.
Yeah, and it was a very sad day, generally speaking. But I got to show him one of my favorite parts of Indiana, which is once you get south of the Chicago area and you're heading straight down the interstate, there's this billboard that on one sign, as you're heading north, out of Illinois towards Wisconsin, it says, "Heaven is real." But as you look at the other side of the sign, as you're driving deeper into Indiana, the other side says, "Hell is real." I was like, look, Josh, hell is real. Just look around you. There it is. So, yeah, and he reminds me of that joke.
Poor Hickory. Poor Hickory.
I've been there, actually. That's a really cool site, too. The Battle of Tippecanoe is a great little tiny museum type thing. So beyond those things, we wanted to make this show primarily.
Oh, hey, before we get to that point, I was going to make one more point before you get off the Bucks. It's a very small window we're in right now, too, but between – it's kind of a segue, too, into what you're going at right now. Right now, Wisconsin has maybe the three most electric players in the three major sports, not including hockey, obviously, because we don't have a hockey team.
Darn you, Blackhawks.
Anyhow, conversation for another day. Right now, Kristen Yelich, despite a less than stellar postseason, going into the playoffs was the most electric player in baseball, and I don't think there was any question about it. He probably won the MVP in the last 3 weeks. Aaron Rodgers, although that window is shrinking and he is about to lose that mantle of most electric player to Patrick Mahomes, I think. But with comeback wins over the 49ers and the Bears on a broken leg, and just basically a decade of being the most electric player. And then with Giannis, Wisconsin, enjoy it. You have the three most electric players in all of the major sports in the United States right now. And that's not to say that they're the best. It could be argued, I think out of all of them, it could be argued that Aaron Rodgers is the best at his sport. Giannis is not the best. LeBron James, until further notice, is the best player in the NBA. Kevin Durant, close second. But as far as electric, Giannis is the most electric player in the NBA. Baseball, there's so many different stats, but I mean, Kristen Yelich damn near won the Triple Crown. And let's enjoy this while we have it, because it doesn't happen too often, especially in the state of Wisconsin, that you get three dominant players in three different sports. So there you go. Anyways, continuing on, how about them Brewers, John?
Yeah, it's as I tweeted out, and I know you read this one, it's like Major League Baseball is like signing up for a marathon that you're not sure they're going to let you finish. It's a very, very long season. And when you're emotionally involved in a team like you and I get with the Brewers, you know, this it's what we grew up with in an era where, you know, you're doing yard work and you would have euchre on while you did things around the house. Baseball is a very different thing in that you're able to experience it in so many different ways. You don't have to be watching it. Football's kind of flat on the radio. You don't get the full picture. Baseball is a game of setup and description, and you know, it's like it's 3-2 count, bottom of the ninth, we got runner on second, it's a 2-run game, this and that. You're like, I understand everything that's going on right then. They'll tell you what the pitch is, where it was placed, this and that. You can hear the bat, you can hear euchre go crazy. You know, baseball is a game you get invested in, and each game is kind of, you know, an ordeal. But then at the end of a season, you've just spent every day since March getting ready and following this team and the ups and downs. And when the Brewers looked like they were out of the playoffs, when they were at one point sitting outside the wild card and worked their way all the way back to the best record in the National League. And then it's just kind of done. And there's just nothing, there's no tomorrow. There's just nothing. And now we've just got those dirty, dirty cheating Dodgers and the Red Sox, you know, just the top salary cap in the entire baseball league. But it's hard to reflect on a season like that, but it was great to watch this team. It's great to see this team beat the Cubs. I mean, they clinched the playoffs in St. Louis and then beat the Cubs in Chicago for the division. Right. It was perfect. Anything
you couldn't have scripted it out any better. Here comes the saying, but it was, well, I'll go with punch in the gut. Let's say punch in the gut. It was a punch in the gut. Everyone knows what I'm trying to say, but this team is still ahead of where it's supposed to be. And we weren't supposed to be that close to the playoffs last year, just one game out. And we definitely weren't supposed to be in the NLCS this year. I mean, if everyone goes back to what their expectations were at the beginning of the season, I think most Brewers fans would have been happy with the second wild card and just getting a sniff of the playoffs. I mean, they swept Colorado. They were on a mad tear for a long time. And the tear is what got them to the best record in the National League and got them in the playoffs and got them to where they were. But, I mean, that's the one thing about mad tears. They come to an end, you know. And I think it was really apparent after the 13-inning game. Yeah, the Brewers came back and got back to Wisconsin, won the first game back here. But I think I really think that it was a foot off the gas. It was kind of coast. They couldn't do it anymore. You know, I really believe that if the Brewers would have made it to the World Series, there might have been a little bit of energy on the front end, but I don't think they would have won the World Series.
It would have been hard. I mean, here's the thing, too, is the World Series now will be the first and third salaries in baseball.
Which baseball wants, by the way. They want that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, how do you have a sport where you have, you know, 30 teams, and you're like, oh, man, you guys should all get excited about your team. Meanwhile, Tampa Bay is paying $68 million, almost $69 million this year. And the Red Sox are paying nearly $230 million. It's so frustrating to be able to sit here and watch this league and know that because of it's just how we've always done it. That's the problem with baseball is it is literally like the arm. We've always done it that way.
We've always done it this way. I mean, that's the unwritten rules. And Patrick goes off on those all the time. Like these unwritten rules. Well, can we write down the unwritten rules then? It's like, yeah. It's the reason why baseball is going to die. I mean, yeah. Sorry. Continue, John.
No, it's just the idea that we have to have all these teams trying to keep up. At the end of the year, it was the number one, the number three, and the number nine teams in terms of total salary and the Brewers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, only two teams from the bottom half of the league even made it to a wild card game. The Oakland Athletics, the 28th salary in baseball, $80 million. They made it to a wild card game, and then they had to go against the Yankees, who were only sixth. They've been very frugal at $180 million. Very, very frugal in the last couple of years for the Yankees.
For the Yankees, yeah. What kills me, though, John, is that who was the commissioner of baseball for almost 20 years?
See, like,
why didn't he fix it?
There's no incentive to fix it. Nobody has any incentive to fix it.
I mean, the owner of the smallest market in baseball was the commissioner of baseball and didn't fix it. As a matter of fact, during his reign, it was pretty much Yankees, 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 Yankees.
Yeah, and a couple of Red Sox. And here's the
Red
thing
Sox.
That's going to
White Sox. Let's throw Chicago one.
Yeah. You know. And the one that does drive me crazy here is just like, okay, so you've got this, and if this was a Yankees team, that the Brewers that we just watched were a Yankees team, we'd say like, all right, next year they're going to get better, add a couple pieces, and they're going to win a World Series. Except for you can't say that because you're Milwaukee. All you have to do is look at the Royals. Just look at the Royals. You say, like, they had to hit while the iron was hot because a year later they couldn't make it to the World Series, and 2 years later they're terrible. And, you know, it's like they were one of the, if they weren't for Baltimore saving them from being the worst team in baseball, it's just like you have to strike while the iron's hot when you're one of these teams. When you're in the bottom half of the league in the ability to pay players because we don't own our own network, then, yeah, you have to win when you had that chance. And you can't say the Brewers are going to be back next year, and that's the part that's so frustrating for the Brewers is that we spent 3 years here building this team up, and it doesn't matter because next year could be nothing.
Mm-hmm. So what is it now? It's NFL is definitely the top of the top four. Hockey is the bottom of the big four. Is it NBA, then Major League Baseball, or is Major League Baseball still above NBA?
it's NBA, especially nationally. NBA gets better national numbers, but Major League gets better total numbers, not just because of the number of games, because they play twice as many games, but the fact that everybody watches their local team, but people who watch the NBA watch more than just their local team generally. They're following players more than teams, so they're they're bouncing around watching different things, and I think that changes it.
But. So, I mean, why wouldn't baseball follow? I mean, football has its own inherent problems. One of its problems is not distribution of wealth amongst teams, as socialist as it is, but people get even on the Cleveland bandwagon. Everyone, if Cleveland were to somehow make it into the playoffs, I think everyone except for the team they're playing would be their fans. I would cheer for Cleveland. As long as they're not playing the Packers, I'd cheer for Cleveland.
Yeah.
Well, who wouldn't?
I would root for the Packers and Cleveland to meet in the playoffs. That would be great.
Yeah, because it would be the Super Bowl. I mean, even division rivals, like I will never cheer for the Bears, the Vikings in the playoffs. And as long as Detroit's not playing the Packers, I think I would have to cheer for Detroit at some point. Like if they made the playoffs and actually made it out of the first round, I might become a Detroit fan.
Nope.
Because of course you wouldn't, but I would. I mean, because they've always been the underdog and they've never been there. And that's the thing
in a Super Bowl, you mean, because they have won an NFL title.
Hello, 1957.
Yeah.
What is that? That's 61 years ago. Is that good math or bad math?
Yeah. They were a great team and won championships right up until Lombardi went to the Packers.
They had a movie made out of them called The Paper Lion, if I remember correctly. Yeah. But anyhow, so I mean, the NFL, like everybody thinks their team has a shot every year. And for the most part, it's true. And as long as you get a good management team, you get good people in place. I mean, Kansas City went from a good team to a great team this year. Like they have maybe the best quarterback. They definitely have the fastest, well, not the fastest wide receiver, as we talked about. Ross is the fastest, but Tyreek Hill is ridiculous. Kareem Hunt is unbelievable. Kelsey is 1A, 1B with Gronk. They've got a great offensive line. I mean, it's the way the world works, you know, up and down. The Rams under Jeff Fisher 3 years ago were terrible, terrible bull. And now they're good again. And so that's the way it works. As long as you do it right. And but you know, in the NBA, if you get a superstar, who's to say 3 years from now, a whole bunch of people don't want to come and play with Giannis. I mean, Cleveland would never have an NBA championship if they weren't so lucky to have LeBron born in Akron, Ohio, you know?
Yeah, no, it's true.
Baseball. It's if you're not the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, or the Giants, good luck to you.
Yeah, and that's the thing is you've got eight everyday players and then a bullpen, and you got to pay all those guys. You want to have, you know, like, I mean, the Brewers, you know, had to go get, they'll get Jimmy Nelson back next year to help out that rotation. And as much as everybody is an out-getter sort of line was overplayed, because after, I believe, the Dodgers maybe had as many, if not more, pitcher changes than the Brewers during that series, and it wasn't getting mentioned. They kept talking about the Brewers, they're going to throw everybody out, and you're like, through four games, the Dodgers had used more pitchers, or at least more pitching changes than the Brewers. And that
I had a tweet that almost went trending when Ryu got knocked out in the third inning of game four, whichever game it was, where they knocked him out in the third inning. I was like,
six.
Oh, apparently the Dodgers are taking the Brewers approach to pitching now, pulling him in the third inning, because last I heard, the Dodgers are going to keep their pitchers in through the sixth or seventh inning. You know, it's like,
they really only did that with Kershaw. Like, they pulled out a lot of other people earlier. Also, they do a lot of the very small changes throughout the game where we have guys who finish innings. So, I don't know. That was overplayed. Yeah, it's just the frustrating part about baseball is in any other sport, you could watch it grow and you'd feel better next year about what you did this year. Like you said, in the NFL, if you have a team that understands how to scout and they can develop players, You can put the people in place to help your players get better. You know that every year you're going to get better. Now, I'll point out to you too, though, that Kansas City started off 5-0 last year and then didn't make the playoffs. And everyone was talking about Alex Smith as the MVP, and then they didn't make the playoffs. So things can change very quickly. But, you know, they spent a year building up their guy. They built up a player who was kind of a gunslinger, and he's had very few interceptions this year. He's played smart, and they did a good job of developing people. And you know that when you have a group that can develop, you're doing great. No, the Brewers don't necessarily get to do that.
Like with Mahomes, too, is that he'll probably be with Kansas City now for the rest of his career because they can afford to keep him.
Yeah, they'll be able to give every bit of the money that any other team would be able to give him. And the Brewers can't do that after this. They got Yelich for a couple of years tied up. If they're smart, they'll try to extend him. But, of course, you know, they did that with Braun.
And there's literally 25 teams that are farm teams for the top five teams in Major League Baseball. I mean, everyone knows, you know, the only reason why we still have zombie Ryan Braun is because he's injury prone and he wears a scarlet letter from the PED bid. And beyond that, we're not going to have Yelich in 2 years. I can guarantee it. He's going to be gone. He'll sign a $400 million contract. The Brewers aren't even in the Bryce Harper sweepstakes because they can't even, I mean, they couldn't even keep CC Sabathia, and they offered him an enormous amount of money for the Brewers. I mean, it's just, you can't have superstars on our team. There's no superstars whatsoever. And they're, unless you get them when they're young, and then they just leave. Prince Fielder left. I mean,
we just
can't do it anymore.
We had the money to keep one of our two great guys that we brought up. And, you know, we picked one. And the other one's retired already.
Right.
And it's tough. Like, we had a team, we brought up, you know, Ricky Weeks, Prince Fielder, Ryan Braun within two years. Yeah, J.J. Hardy. And within 2 years.
Ben Sheets.
And we just couldn't keep him. Well, Ben Sheets came up earlier. He'd been
around
for a
while. He was a little bit ahead of the power curve,
But we brought up all those guys together. We had a big plan. We brought them up together. And what it gave us was a three-year window where we were able to compete and not do it. It gave us a three-year window, and then it was done. And then we had to rebuild again. Mm-hmm. And then we had to bring up, you know, guys. We had VR, Arcia, and some of these other guys coming up all together. And we added some veterans, and we're going to have, what, a small window here where we're able to do something with these guys.
Oh, Orlando Arcia is going to be a $300 million player in 2 years.
If he can hit. I mean, he hit all right, and he did very well in the playoffs, but he's got to be more consistent.
It's coming around on him. He's going to be a superstar player here pretty quick. But
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, and you talk about the have and the have-nots. I mean, I can't tell you how many Twitter fans or Twitter friends and fans I made during this series, during this postseason, with White Sox fans. White Sox fans, John, are cheering for the Brewers. Now, prior to the move to the National League, if anyone remembers, White Sox fans and Brewers fans were about the most toxic. They were more toxic than Red Sox, Yankees fans. And it was much more regional, but it was bad. I remember being sitting six rows behind the Brewers dugout in Old County Stadium. And the White Sox had that guy that always showed up in the Darth Vader helmet. And at the end of the game, Charlie Huff versus Chris Bosio. Charlie Huff throwing for the White Sox, an old knuckleballer. They both went to the ninth inning. Bosio gave up a hit to right field. And I still remember this plain as day. It was a hit Bosio gave up a line drive hit to right field with a man on third. And Daryl Hamilton, bless his soul, RIP, came up with the ball on a one hop and threw out that runner at home plate on a single. And then at the bottom of the ninth inning, this was the year that the Brewers got cut short by the Blue Jays to get into the playoffs back in the old two-league system. Yeah. Scotty Fletcher, who was our second baseman that year, took over for Gantner, hit a game-winning shot with two outs in the bottom of the ninth, just barely over the left field fence right next to the foul pole. And that Darth Vader guy was two rows in front of us. I've never been hit with so many peanuts in my life. because the entire stadium, upper deck, lower deck, was hucking their peanuts at the Darth Vader guy. And my dad had to take his jacket off and cover my head because we were literally just getting hit with everything. And I just remember walking out of there, the happiest boy on the planet. My dad was happy. My uncle and my cousins were all happy, but we all smelled like beer and had peanut shells on us. And it was because that's just how it was with the White Sox. And to have White Sox fans loving the Brewers because, getting back to the point here, the have and the have-nots. Here's two teams that share the same metro, much probably like how Mets fans feel. But they're not – they don't have the resources that the Cubs do even.
No.
I mean, much like the Mets with the Yankees have an unbelievable payroll. And I just – the league doesn't change. Nothing changes. I mean, the two teams that are on California that are, you know, it's Boston and Yankees, Dodgers, Giants. Guess what? Where did the Dodgers and Giants come from? New York.
New York, yeah.
There's three New York teams and one Boston team, and that's it. God bless the Marlins for winning two World Series. That's all I have to say about that.
One with Craig Counsell.
Absolutely.
And Marlins, man, the guy behind home plate for every Brewers home game in his Marlins jersey. God bless that guy.
And front row Amy. God bless front row Amy.
So, yeah. The one thing, though, that I'll never get, and you listen to the Heller show, and I have too. Mm-hmm. His weird defense of Jeffress through these last couple series has been just
it was
crazy
bad today
to
too. I've been a JJ defender too. Sorry, John.
Yeah, no, I like him too. Just he has not had it the last couple weeks, and he was not good in the NLCS. He was not good, and Heller does this like, yeah, but he still got his stuff. I'm like, yeah, well, everybody was watching his stuff go back the other way. You know, he's getting.
We were watching his stuff get dropped over the left field fence by Yasiel Puig.
Yeah, when. You don't have good stuff when they're hitting it. He's like, well, he kept his velocity up and he was hitting his spots. I'm like, he wasn't hitting his spots. Either that or he was picking terrible spots consistently because everybody knew what his spots were and they just kept hitting the ball. It's like, no, when you keep getting hit, you're not doing your thing. Like, you aren't putting the ball where it's supposed to be, or you didn't understand what you're trying to put the ball, where you're trying to put the ball, like what you were trying to do with it. Because you kept putting it where they were just striking it. You were being either there's a tell or there's something else going wrong. But when you give up basically two runs guaranteed every time you come out in the last three, four times you came out, there was only one time, I think, of the last five, he didn't give up at least two runs. Now, we didn't lose all those games, but we lost a couple.
So, again, full disclosure to the listeners, I'm in opinion mode now. Google's gone away, so I don't have facts in front of me again.
Get them. Go on.
Besides starters, and the one time that Burns got lit, did any of the other bullpen even give up a run?
That one.
Yeah, I mean, I Burns know. Got lit that one time. That was And yeah, Woodruff might have. No, Woodruff.
Woodruff did pretty well.
He was a reliever, but he wasn't a reliever.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Knebel looked great. Hader looked really good in all of his own. He looked great too.
I mean, for the first through the first five games, the bullpen outside of Jeffers hadn't given up a run.
Well, Xavier Cedeno left a guy for Jeffress, so he picks up an earned run, I guess.
Perks up one
because he walked a guy.
Oh, sorry, I got. Lit up one time too.
One time, but he came back the next time and was fine.
Right. Like, it was just a one-time thing. I mean, every reliever gets lit up once in a while, but I mean, literally, Jeffress, what was the one where he gave up the two runs in the ninth and then the Brewers still won the game? Was that against Colorado?
Yes. I think it was, I forget which game that was, but it was Colorado. But he came in and, I mean, the Brewers really, against the Dodgers, should have won game two, should have won game four. But they gave up late, stupid runs. And game four, especially, we had Arcia hit a double with nobody out. We refused to bunt him to third when we had the ground out next, so Arcia couldn't advance. Then we get a long pop fly, so we got to go to third. If we'd bunted him to third, that long pop fly would have brought him home. It would have been 2-1. Instead, we go to extra innings and lose.
You know, and that leads me to another point, too, is that, yeah, Jeffress was a whole different ball of wax. How many times, especially like just in the last three games of the series, did we have somebody on second base with nobody out?
Couldn't
get him in.
Yeah, and they had the opportunities, just didn't get done, and that's the thing that's going to haunt us, is that you have to get those done when you get that opportunity, when you're a team that spends like the Brewers can. So it's disheartening. It's hard. I feel generally very happy about this. The thing that's going to annoy me is that the Brewers are going to hang up a pennant thing in the outfield about winning the division, and I hate that.
Well, they should, though. They did. They won the Central. That's a thing. That used to be a pennant. If you would have won your division when it was the West and the East, that was a pennant.
Sure, but that's like a thing that Vikings do. Like, man, we totally won the division.
You're
like,
the Brewers are the Vikings of Major League Baseball.
I know, but we should aspire to something else.
Except they win less.
The idea of saying, yeah, they do, because they don't get to pay at an even rate as everybody else does.
Good point, yeah.
But I mean, like, that's the thing is, like, when you put up a sign saying, hey, remember that one time we won a division? Now we're going to put up, you know, two of those. And it's like, wow, we don't even really win divisions much. It just reminds you how much we don't win when you do it like that.
But, John, at the same time, I mean, it really – so it was the poll question today on the Drew Olsen Show, too, which is, which league is it hardest to win a championship in? And going away, it was Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, how many teams have actually won a championship in Major League Baseball? Ever? I mean, the Yankees have won one quarter of them.
Nah, they got 27. They've been playing
since
1890s.
So let's hear 120 years. Sorry, 20%. The Yankees have won 20% of all the World Series and have been in probably 40% of them.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think everybody else in our division's won one. Right? I mean, definitely St. Louis, definitely Chicago.
Well, St. Louis has won a bunch.
The Reds have won several in my lifetime.
Yeah, well, no.
Yes, they have.
Not in your lifetime, before your lifetime. No, Big Red Machine was before your lifetime.
But in the 80s with Rojo and Sabo and all those guys, they won some in the 90s. You're forgetting that. They did win some back there. Not the Big Red Machine. They won after that, too.
Because Dan Patrick was just complaining about that Cincinnati hasn't won a World Series since the Big Red Machine. They were in a couple. Either way, they've won some, but
I'm going to look this up because I watched them win one. I even have a baseball card that says Reds October. Let's see. World Series. Their last one, 1990.
Yes.
Rojo was their pitcher, and Chris Sabo was playing.
They got the one. All right. So, yes, that's it. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Oh, you're right. I'm not going to.
They've won one in my lifetime. I mean, it's just the rest of our divisions all won.
Oh, that's right. That was Barry Larkin was on that team, too, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good team. All right. Well, everybody remembers Chris Sabo, of course.
See, his weird glasses.
But I'm still saying, though, that it's.
No, it is really hard. It's much harder.
Yeah. The Royals won a couple years ago. Houston's window is going to close now. And Houston's the number four market in America.
Yeah.
After losing to the Red Sox, do you think Houston's going to be back in it again? No, they're going into full rebuild again. Basically, every team is in full rebuild all the time, except for the Yankees, Red Sox, Giants, and Dodgers.
Yeah. Think of this. Washington has had probably the best player in the National League as well as the best pitcher in the National League for the last 3 years.
Two of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, two of the best, but the best in the National League in Scherzer, who played for the La Crosse Loggers, by the way.
Yes, good point.
Northwoods League, got to represent.
The Mets might have the best 1-2 combination of starters in all of baseball.
Yeah, they didn't have a winning record either.
No, they did not.
No. But yeah, just looking down the list of like National League teams that have won in my lifetime, Arizona, San Francisco, the Dodgers, Miami, The Mets have won one, not in my lifetime. Philadelphia's won in my lifetime. Atlanta's won in my lifetime. Cincinnati, St. Louis, Chicago. And then there's Pittsburgh, you know, the Mets. They've won them, just not in my lifetime. I don't remember the Padres, but Colorado's never won one. Washington's never won one, and us. Those are the only three teams in the National League, I think.
So let's do some quick math here. So there's four teams. So World Series, most wins from 1903 to 2017. That is 114 years. The Yankees have 27. The Cardinals have 11.
Yep.
Which St. Louis is in a big market, so they kind of...
Well,
anyways,
not as big a market, but they have a bigger share of national market than
they are. And they don't have to share. They don't lose half their audience to Chicago. And then the San Francisco Giants have five. So that is 8, 16, 23, carry the 53 of the World Series wins have been between four teams.
Among
four teams. That's half.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough road.
So back to my point. So the question was, which league is it hardest to win a championship in? Oh, so obviously it's Major League Baseball. Number two, NBA.
That's fine. I think that putting up a pennant to say that NHL
kind of threw that out the window last year because NHL has proven time and again that they're willing to help out. Look at they knew that if the Golden Knights didn't make it last year, then they would never make it. So they stacked the deck in their favor as an expansion team. It's the first time it's ever happened, and it was glorious. And you know, and then of course the NFL is probably the easiest league to win a championship in because of the parity. If you're smart enough to do it. And your name isn't New England. So.
Either way. Yeah, no, that's fair. It still gets me, though, putting up. They have a thing celebrating a wild card berth. I mean, that's disheartening. It mostly just reminds you how much we can't make the playoffs and how hard it is and how much everything's stacked against us when we have to celebrate a wild card berth. And we have a pennant in the outfield celebrating our wild card berth. It just makes me kind of sad, but you know, it was a good year. We're going to reflect on this and feel very happy about this. It was a great run. So many exciting moments, but yeah, that was a tough way to lose that, to again, a very dirty team. But other than that though, that'll be the end of our Brewers coverage. We'll be focusing Badgers, Packers, and a little bit of Bucks, maybe even some Badger basketball coming up here. Maybe even touch on some Badger hockey. Since Chicago won't let us have an NHL team.
Hockey.
There's no doubt.
Well, and the thing is, now I'm going to have to get my head out of UMD hockey. That's like I love UMD hockey. Anyways, Minnesota Duluth for the lay people. But yeah, I'm going to have to start watching the Big Red Machine now. So
go Bucky.
Yeah.
Anyhow. Again, you find me, JBarn54. You can follow the show at ScottyJohnny1. And Aaron, of course, at Chatter Talk. But for this week...
I think I might turn it to at Salty Chatter Talk after this talk today.
Fair enough. But anyhow, wrapping it up for this week, it's good to be back. Aaron, it's good to be back with you again.
And hey, yeah. It's working. Hell yeah. Monday nights.
But either way. Whether you're on the town or on the go, remember that it's always on the sunset.
Hey, yo!